Good afternoon, everyone. We are right at 1:45. I hope you had good lunch, and now we are all set to talk about project management. And my name is Sajan Parihar, and I'm going to talk about project and portfolio management today. And with me later on during the demo, I will have my colleague Krishna. He will join us to show us some new stuff that we have built recently. And for today's session, we are basically going to focus more on what we can do in online. So all the demos I'm going to show you, they're essentially about online, but the same thing works on-premise. It's just that it's easy for me, instead of carrying three servers with me, one SQL database, one SharePoint, one project. So I'm just using cloud as a demo environment for us. But whatever we're going to show you, you can essentially assume that all of that works in on-premise. So that's essentially what we have. And at SharePoint Conference, we got a few sessions on project and portfolio management. So what I thought that, just to give you a sense of like some of the other sessions, because if you're interested in project management or portfolio management, at the minimum, I would say these three sessions are what you should be looking at. The first one is what I'm going to cover here. Second is we have a dedicated session for the project desktop, the project client, how we can get the best out of that. And there is a session on that. It's SPC 262. And all sessions are being recorded. So you can, of course, go back and, you know, you can take a look at those. And third, there is one, SPC 376. That's more focused on software developer audience. So if you want to really customize, you want to understand how we can do more on demand management, how we can customize workflows, or what you can do more with custom reporting, that's something that you can take a look at that. So between these three sessions, you can pretty much get a lot of coverage. And then at the same time, just sometime last month, early last month, we had a project conference where we had more than 100 sessions. So what we have done is we've taken all the content, you know, videos and all, and we have put them out on a Microsoft property called Channel 9. So anybody can go and watch those. So although you have three sessions here, there are some partner sessions as well, but you can say that there is plenty of content, more than 100 sessions, up on internet, go to Channel 9. So if you run into any issue, any topic, you can pretty much feel safe that we have got you covered on that. So I'll encourage you to just make a note of that, and you can check that out. Now, before we dive into the actual agenda, I just want to get a sense of how many people here are IT professionals? You know, like, okay, majority of them, that's great. Because I would rather tailor my demo talk around the audience we have. How many of you here are software developers? Okay, that's great. And how many of you oversee or manage projects? Okay. And how many of you manage project portfolios, multiple projects? That's excellent. So I think given the audience, because I was debating that, what should I use my examples? So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to talk more about in terms of as IT, but a lot of things I'll tell you that essentially apply even to sales, marketing, to different functions. So, but in my example, I'll talk more in terms of IT. And second thing is, in terms of demos, I'm going to show more of portfolio management towards end. So with that, our agenda is I'm going to spend just a few minutes to talk about some Microsoft vision, because I think no presentation is complete without slides, so I need to show you some slides. But we'll get out of that pretty quick, and then we'll dive quickly into demos. And I said three times demos because first I'll show you something in SharePoint, then we'll show something quickly in Project Professional, then we'll go into the project online. Or you can think of, if you're an on-premise customer, project server. So there are plenty of demos. And I also thought that I'll use this as an opportunity to give you some insights into where are we going next. So while we don't have time to really show anything more on that, but I can essentially tell you that these are the investment pillars that we've chosen, that we're working on, and those things should come out, you know, in a matter of time. And then we'll do a quick demo again on that. And finally, we have some resources, and then we can do a good Q&A. So please keep writing your questions, and towards the end, we have mics. We can have at least 10, 15 minutes to take any questions you guys have. So let's talk about what is Microsoft philosophy in this space. Because I think I get to meet a lot of customers almost every week. And the very first thing they ask me, okay, what about on-premise? Because we'll demo online, and I think at this conference, you might have heard cloud at least 100 times from us. So we're talking all about cloud. So I just wanted to sort of set this thing up front. First of all, The core pillars we have is, first, to bring a comprehensive tool set. What does that mean? You can think of that it is not one size fits all. While Project Desktop might be the best solution for a project manager who, you know, spends whole of his time managing the project, it may not be the perfect solution for the guys who are working on projects. You know, they just want to see their tasks and they just want to see the documents around it. So that's where you have different solutions. You have Project Professional, which works great with SharePoint, and you can do that. You can manage your project sites, you can manage your tasks and all that. At the same time, for folks like yourself who are really managing multiple projects, you want to see things across projects, you want to do resource management, that's where portfolio management comes in, and that's where you can use either Project Server or Project Online. So our goal is not to fit one solution to say, you know, one way or other you can make it work, but rather provide you the comprehensive tool set so you can provide the right tools to the right people. Second thing is around devices. I think, as we all know, that we are living in this proliferation of devices era. You know, there are too many devices. And on the product team, we do think about those different endpoints. And wherever possible, I think we're going to cover more and more endpoints. And at the minimum, the bar we've kept for ourselves is that if we don't create native apps, at least we'll support, let's say if you take Project Online, Project Server, we'll support the different browsers, be it IE, Chrome, Safari, we'll support that. So that even if you come from different devices, and you can still experience it. At the same time, we are exposing a lot of APIs, because realistically, we can't create native apps. Like Android has I don't know how many flavors. You can't really cover that. But we let our partner ecosystem to create more native apps. So the basic thought here is we'll cover devices and different ways. We'll have different browsers for different platforms. In some cases, we'll create native apps where it makes sense for us. In other cases, we'll have our partners who can sort of fill that gap for you. And third, which I think is very important, we are doing things both cloud and on-premise. And I want to talk about this because I think it's where I see a lot of confusion around. Back in the days, if you go back for the 2013 release, we were building only servers, 2010 and 2013. Project Online came to the cloud in February last year. So, we just had our one-year anniversary. So what we did back then, we built something, a server release that we gave out to you guys, but we built with the mindset that we are going to use the same code base to power our cloud. So we use exactly the same server bits, and we just created a multi-tenant solution in the cloud. Now, in case of on-premise, we can't ship a new server to you every 3 months. You'll say, okay, you guys are crazy, and rightfully so. So we have to go with some cadence, Give and take, I tell customers, plan for 2.5 years plus minus 6 months. Because that's where historically we have come out with. So while we'll come out with that, but in cloud we can push out new things, every few months. In fact, sometimes we fix things every month, or we'll bring a new feature, every 2, 3, or 6 months, whatever time frame. So once it is ready, it is done through test. Back in the days, we'll hold it back till the server train is going to leave. But this time around, we don't have to do that. We just push it out. So as a result, cloud gets ahead. You'll get things first in the cloud. At some point in time, let's say when SharePoint server is coming out, rest of Office servers are coming out, we'll take our code base, we'll just package it, we'll cut in a CD, or we'll tell you go to this URL and, download your server. So in a sense, we are going to cover both, but it's just that the way you develop these products, we are going to do cloud first, because that's the realistic way for us to do, and at the same time, we'll cover you for on-premise. So those are the core pillars that we have from the product standpoint. Now, next thing is from end-user perspective, if you think about, the first thing is, we started pretty much in project management. And if you think about, Project Desktop, we have more than 20 million users worldwide. Let me repeat that again. It's 20 million users worldwide, which includes Project Desktop, Project Server, Client, that's our user base. But you can see that a lot of those users, we got them through the desktop. So Project Client or Project Desktop was the first foremost thing, and that's where we feel really strong and we'll continue to do a lot more on that. At the same time, our last few years, we have seen two interesting trends. First is portfolio management. As many of you raised your hands, I think there were a lot of hands, they went up when I asked about how many of you manage projects, and a decent size was still standing up when I said about portfolio. And that's the reality we see even at our end. We see in the past, you can say a few years ago, people were happy to manage one project, optimize around it, optimize resources. Now with time, they want to manage across multiple projects. You know, you can drive more efficiencies, you can do better resource utilization. And then they start to do across geographical boundaries. So the whole thing is like expanding. That's what we have seen. And so this is one trend that we have seen that's coming. At the same time, this another trend that we have seen is shaping up pretty quickly. It's around work management. So what does work management mean? Like, you know, at the end of everything is work. But when you talk to, let's say, a salesperson, you know, he's not going to tell you that I'm working on a project, you know. He'll say, okay, I'm working on an RFP. I have to respond to an RFP. There's some work. And if you look at, it's really like a small project. If you look at somebody who's trying to put together, you know, like even a happy hour for your team, that's a mini project of two-day duration. That person never says, I'm going to work on this project and these are my tasks. They say, no, like I'm just, and that person will be very busy. Sometimes I see that the person putting happy hour is really busy. He or she has to, you know, do a lot of things. And that's where we have seen a lot of ad hoc tools are coming up. You know, people are using, and it is becoming like a spaghetti. You know, if you go to marketing department, they are using one tool. You go to somewhere else, they're using something else. And then you start to repeat the whole thing. You know, you still want to have good communication system. You want some email, you want some compliance, you want all that. And all of a sudden it morphs into something far bigger. And from Microsoft, the way our vision is, we want to deliver integrated PPM across devices. That means we will cater to work management, which today we do that through SharePoint. But I must acknowledge that that's just the first step. And you can think of us doing a lot more in that space. And we'll see, you know, how that shapes out. But essentially from scenario standpoint, that's one thing which we deem critically important to us. So we're going to address that in the future. So I'll show you what we have today, but you can say there'll be more that's going to come in that space. So project management, again, desktop is there. You can do some stuff even from browser. I'll show you how you can do that. And that will continue there. At the same time, we'll be doing even more in portfolio management. And finally, what I said, devices, that's a reality. There are plenty of devices. And that's what we are thinking more and more as we think about three different pillars. So that's essentially, I would say, you know, if I have to lay out my vision for these entire portfolio of products we have, it's in one line, integrated PPM across devices. And I can safely say that this thing will move smoothly. And I can show you how it flows from one thing to another. Because at the end of the day, at the back, it's like one product. We are just showing up you differently, but you can think of that in a very simple terms. Think of there is some big mega task list that's going to capture everything, and then we'll have different experiences built on top of that. Now, what does this mean in terms of product? The way we think about product is in three layers. First is infrastructure. Like if you were to think about Office 365, we provide you robust data centers, you have service continuity, we get you 99.9% uptime, and there are a lot of other things that come. Like in your case, if you're on-premise, you can replicate the whole thing, you can manage your infrastructure, and we'll be totally fine with that. But I'm just talking about in 365, and the same thing you can do on-premise. Next is we think about security, compliance, privacy, because especially in enterprise space, it's critically important. And majority of our customers are in enterprise. So enterprise is critical to us. So that's your security, compliance, privacy. And you can read about it. There's a site called Office 365 Trust Center. We have documented, it's pretty much open documentation around how do we deal with these different pillars that we have, which compliance we follow, everything's up there. And then on top of that, you can think of there are a lot of building blocks. If you separate yourself from project management, whether you are creating a document, you're sharing a document which has got, you know, a nice event plan, or you're sharing a document that really has got requirements document, from product standpoint, you're just sharing a document. You can use OneDrive, you can just share it. You know, at the same time, you can do encryption, you can do everything around Word, and the same thing holds true for even for a project. You want to create a site, whether it's an intranet portal, it's an extranet site, it's a project site. From technology standpoint, you need a system that helps you create sites, manage sites, permissions, and all. That's something you get from SharePoint, and that's, again, built into 365. Likewise, everybody wants to get insights from data, so you need some form of BI or data analytics and all. That's, again, part of our core platform. And finally, howsoever hard we try, I can bet that even if I try to bring the geniuses, we can't meet everybody's requirement. You know, there'll be always be some customization you have to do because your process is different, like your approach you want to take is different. And instead of writing custom code, you'll hear from us time and again, apps is the way to go. The new Office apps model, which works across Word, Excel, PowerPoint, it also works with Project Professional, be it your desktop or in the cloud. It works with that. At the same time, when you think about on the server side, the app model that works for, let's say, SharePoint, exactly the same app model we are using for Project Server. So you can get more developers to build around it, and that's the way we think. We talk more and more about how you should be thinking about extending the solution. And I won't go into API details like CSOM and all, but that's publicly documented, but that's how you think about it. Now, as a customer, you have two choices. Either you create this whole thing on-premise, then you create, for document sites, you create your SharePoint server, you provision a SQL. For email, you bring Exchange. For communication, you bring Link. Or you go to 365, and we have everything already pre-configured for you, and you just customize it. But you can do it either way. And finally, you should think of a project and portfolio management is a solution that's built on top of this stack. And there are different things here. You know, you can do demand management, and I'll talk about those in a minute. Again, our BI reporting, we are using the same tooling underneath. It's Power Pivot, Power View from Excel. It's the same OData APIs, and everything is we are using from the same stack. We are just extending it a little further for you. Portfolio analytics and selection, that's something where we have to do our secret sauce. That's what you get in Project Server, and the same thing you get in the cloud. And finally, resource management. And there are a lot of other things you get with Project Server or Project Online, and I'll show a slide later on. But essentially, if you were to think about, like, what do you get from solution standpoint, what's the simplistic way for me to think about it? I think this is the simplistic way. Your infrastructure, there are core building blocks that come from different servers Microsoft has. A lot of that comes from SharePoint Server. Essentially, we leverage SharePoint sites, apps, everything from SharePoint, even documents, repository, and all, and we have built on top of that. So I think that's good enough for the slides, unless you guys want to show me some more slides. I think we'll take this time now to switch to a demo, and I'll show you something around SharePoint. Okay, now, if you look at this, this is just a team site right now. And you can create a team site in SharePoint, and the same team site really becomes your project site. And I'm talking of a case of a work management. Think of a team, a small team, that has no project manager. They don't know anything about project management as a discipline, and they don't necessarily think about themselves that I'm working on a project. You know, they might be, let's say, a marketing team working on a campaign. Okay, they're not really going to use, some of them use if it's a complex project, but for small initiatives, you can pretty much do that with SharePoint. So what you do here is, like, once you come and create a site, you can just, again, as I said, everything is like an app. Go to this add an app. Once you click on that, you can see the different choices of apps. How many of you have installed any app in SharePoint today? Okay, a decent number. So you can see there are different apps. The first app that is important for you is task list. Because at the end of the day, before, if you want to do something around project management, you can just go and click here. You can give a name to it, and you can create your task list. For this demo, I have already created a task list. And, you know, let me click on this. So you'll get something like this, you know, just an empty task list. Now, the very first scenario you run into, like, there are many folks, they manage these mini projects using Excel. And I feel great, you know, that's a Microsoft tool. But Excel, we didn't really make it to do project management. Okay, you can use it, that's great. But at the same time, you can't really track anything around it. You can't put documents around it. So what you can do, the first thing we did is, like, we did recognize that. And you can come to an Excel. Let me copy it here. I've just created a sample project plan. You know, somebody can try to create it. What I'll do is I'll just copy it here. And I'll just edit my task list. Just to Control V, allow access. What it's going to do is it's taking the just Excel data, and it's just trying to copy it here. At the same time, if you notice, like, all these names, they're getting resolved automatically through Active Directory integration. So just from Excel, you just take it, copy-paste. You know, you have a pretty much your whole project plan is built here. At the same time, it's nicely formatted in different, like, columns. And you have, if you are using Link, this thing will show you the presence. All those features will light up right away. So you can just go from Excel to this. I think it can take you less than a minute. Just copy paste and you are pretty much done. And after that, I can just, let's say I just click stop. Right at the top, if you see that, there's a timeline. What we have seen from a product research, all of these folks like who do work management, if you show them Gantt chart, they're going to run away, at least 3 feet, if not more. And what is this? So what we wanted, but at the same time, what we found that they like timeline. It's visual, it's simple, it doesn't intimidate them, so you can use that. And in this case, you can very easily go and add this. Okay, let me talk about a couple of things here. If you look at right at the top, once you add a task list, you can see like there is a bar for task, there's a pane, and you've got different options with that. So you can do that at the same time, at the end of this thing is just a list. So you can do, you know, different things with it, and you can always go ahead and click it. You can change the names, and it will start to resolve. Let's say I want to give this thing to, maybe there is somebody named Ed, I don't know the name, and it's going to resolve it. It's going to look it automatically, and you can do all this stuff right away, because now it's an intelligent list. It's not just a simple Excel list, and you can do all of this stuff. At the same time, let's see if you want to create your visual. I want, you know, take this opportunity. I can just click Add to Timeline. This whole thing will get added to timeline. And you can play with this. You can create nice visual. You can create different points that you want to show and reflect here. And you can click Stop Editing. And you can create, you can indent and all, and I'll skip that part. You can indent, you can make it more beautiful. What is interesting from this point onwards is, like, now if you look at here, you can click on Open with Project. Let's say you end up having a lot of tasks. And now, assuming in your company they've got 50 people who are managing their small projects using SharePoint. Some of them are going to grow into bigger projects. And sooner or later, you're going to get this request that, how do I manage it with Project Desktop? Because I hear that's a project management tool. So we have a built-in integration with that. So what you can, all you need to do is just click on Open with Project. Okay, or something I think we missed, we didn't install it. Never mind, I'll skip it. So you can click on that. It's going to open the task list for you on a Project Desktop. And from that point, you can manipulate it. It can save it back. And that's how you can sort of go about with this. At the same time, if you still want to export Excel back for some reason, you can always do that. And third thing is, you can always sync these tasks to Outlook. So they will come to your Outlook. You can sync it. So essentially, from a lightweight project management perspective, you can use SharePoint for that. And you can essentially do tasks, projects. You can sync to Project Professional. And you can also take to Excel. That's pretty much what you can do with the SharePoint list. Now, there are a few other things that I've seen customers using here. Because a lot of time when you create a project, you want to create, like, in the past we used to create a distribution list. Like, how many of you still create distribution list in Exchange? You don't have to be shy. Okay, there are a couple of you. Now, with SharePoint, there is a feature for you can add a site mailbox. And again, as I said before, everything in SharePoint is you can think like an app, go to add an app, and it's right here. Once you click on this site mailbox, you're going to create a mailbox for this project site. At the same time, this mailbox will also appear in your Outlook. So you'll see like one more folder in Outlook. What happens from that point onwards, let's say if you want to send a project document to the whole team, just send to the site mailbox. It will automatically go to the whole team. It will come here as well. At the same time, let's say you get an email and you feel, you know, this document attachment is related to this project, you can just drag into Outlook, and automatically from Outlook itself, the whole thing will feed into your SharePoint. So there's a lot of goodness here in terms of integration with Project Desktop, integration with Outlook, and obviously, you know, SharePoint is at the back. And that's how I would say, you know, you should think about, as you think about, you know, work management, and you can literally bring this solution to not just within IT, you can take it to sales, marketing, and, you know, different functions in your organization. Now with that, let me move on to the next topic, which is the core of our session today, which is around portfolio management. So let me, and there's only one slide I want to show you. Now if you think about portfolio management, and I think as I talk to different customers, the one thing I hear that everybody has their slightly different interpretation of what portfolio management means. And that's for right reasons, because it depends how you use it, and you think, you know, that's what a portfolio is. There are different blocks that come as part of portfolio. Because at the end of the day, a portfolio can comprise of different projects, Either they are right the projects that you're working on, or you might be interested in, you know, your future prioritization. So there are different phases to that. Like you can think of portfolio, are you looking at your existing portfolio, or are you thinking about your future? And there are different things you can do. And some of the things I've highlighted here, first is around program management. So you can definitely, you know, have a project. There are multiple projects that are part of a big initiative. You can do some program management around that. Second is demand management. Demand management is, you can think about, as you get requests for new initiatives, you can think of that, you can have a workflow around it. In one of the sessions that I highlighted initially, those three sessions, the last one talks more about that, if you're interested in demand management. And you can take a look at, you can define a process that before I even initiate a project, it should go through a certain workflow, you need to capture certain inputs, and just route through the whole thing. That is essentially, you can say in simple terms, what demand management is. Third is around portfolio analytics and selection, and that's what I'll demo you shortly. That's how you can do that. It's more around, you can think about, how do you really select? Let's say you get requests, your budget is $10 million, and you get 50 requests. How do you really decide in the most objective manner that which project you should be working on? And that's what portfolio analytics or PPM tool helps you with that. And that's what I've seen that, especially when you talk to senior executives, that's what something they want. Because otherwise, it becomes more like a moot point to discuss what is your priority. It's more like opinions versus facts. And PPM tool helps you bring more data to the discussion, and I'll show you that. Next is on BI, which I showed you earlier. And for portfolio, you want to get reports across different projects. And we'll show you a demo of that. And I talk about team collaboration. We also support integration with Yammer, at least at the project site level. So let's say you come to projects online, you want to integrate a feed, you can do that with Yammer feed. You can just straight away integrate that. You can also flag issues and risks. So if people are working on different projects, and if you were to use only project desktop, you don't really get a team to work on that. On the other hand, if you're using project server or project online, your different team members will get to see their tasks. And if they run into any issue or risk, they can just enter there, and the whole thing will flow back to you in the nice UI. You can see it from there. You definitely can do schedule management. You can do time reporting, which is like timesheets, resource management, and financial management. So that's essentially, I would say, like, it doesn't cover everything, but it gives you a sense of that, what all you can do with project server and or project online. And what I've seen in many companies, I recently met with a construction company up from Canada, and they acquired a lot of companies, and in their company alone, they had 8 resource management solutions. And I was a bit surprised. And if you look at in a large enterprise, sometimes you will have one system for timesheet management. You might have a different system for resource management. You have a third for project management. And really, you don't need to do that. Yes, we all software vendors, we all want the money for software, but it doesn't help. With that, you're going to create information silos. Then you have to put synchronization between timesheeting system and resource management. Then you tie back to your financial management, to your ERP. And with Project Server coupled with SharePoint, you got pretty much covered. And once you do that, I would say, then only should see like what more I need on top of that. Because I can safely say that for 80% of scenarios, you know, it's an 80-20 rule, because I always leave some room for me so you don't, it's recorded, you don't come back to me that I said everything can be done. But for 80% of scenarios, you're pretty much covered on that. And where you need to extend, I would say going forward, you should first take a look at our App Store, because App Store is going to be a more cost-effective way for you to meet your custom needs instead of rewriting something. At the same time, App Store is not just about public apps. You can also, which I think many of you might already know, you can even your internal IT can create your own apps, which you can surface in something called App Catalog, which is just for your enterprise. But that's the way you can create it, and you can then share those apps with different departments. So with that, let me move on to my next part of the demo so I can show you some of these things in action. So once you log into Project Online, you will see that first, the very first thing you'll see that we have invested into is getting started experience. Because in the previous releases of the project, one of the feedback we got was that it is a bit hard to get started, and I have to train my people a lot. So what we did was, at the very first thing here is, you know, we just created some of these tiles. And, you know, you can, if you want to create a project, just click on this. You're new to Project Online. We can guide you to resources. You want to download the desktop, it's right here. You want to do reporting, you can do that. You want to share a site. And the next pillar around is more around your track your work. And there are a few more tiles. If you just see, there is a like this click on this right side, you click on next, you can see your add list or libraries. So the very first thing that you'll see here is, you know, you can just get started quickly. And this is one example where I would say we had fewer options. Right now, cloud is already ahead of on-premise because we got some feedback that I need this more stuff here. And we took, I would say, just a few weeks. We built it. We just released it. And we are just waiting for the next server release before we can give it out. That's just one example. Second is, you can think of the next column that you have here, the row you have. You have like quick shortcuts around projects. If you get any approvals, you can see that. If there are any tasks that is pending for you, you can see that here. And again, reports. So this is one thing where you can get started quickly. This is essentially your getting started experience. Now, where Project Online Server is really different is around Project Desktop shows you only one project. It is essentially made for a project manager who can work with one project at a time. Whereas Project Server essentially gives you visibility across multiple projects. So when you come to Project Center, you can see all your projects that you're working on. And the timeline that you see here is across multiple projects. So let's say on project one, you're more interested in milestone one, whereas there was project number 20, and let me know there was something like, you know, there is a, you know, like there, let's say there's a payroll system upgrade, and you can just add that to your timeline. So you can get a nice dashboard that gives you a high-level timeline across the entire portfolio that your teams might be working on. And that is something, you know, that's very basic, and that's right there. In this case, on the left-hand side, you are seeing lots of options because to avoid, you know, login, logout, I just added all the options here. But in real world, depending on what your user is authorized to, he or she might see fewer options here. Because if you are not using timesheet, you can, like, remove this option from here. And all of that is customizable. But let me quickly walk through this. So if you get any approvals, you can do that from here. You'll see your task up here. You have timesheets, issues, and risks. You can do resource management. And then there are two big things around strategy and reports. And those are two I'll like to demo you more. So a lot of that, the previous feature that I talked about, I won't say it's basic, but that's where we see there is a lot of maturity. Many people, they get it around, how do I really manage projects? How can I see my task update status? That's something they can do, or even timesheets. The bigger area that we have seen, like where we still see like some companies are doing great and some are way behind, is around portfolio management. Like, how do I really decide when, let's say, it's IT, you're working with business, or you're from the business group, how do I really decide what are the new things we should be working on? And today, a lot of that get decided into big meetings, and sometimes the people will leave, the discussion gets lost, and I'll just show you how we can do that through the tool. In fact, for our project team, when I worked with my engineering counterparts, we use this tool. Okay, let's decide our priorities. From there, we decide which features we'll build, and we have an interesting debate. The first thing you'll start with is around driver library. What this is basically, you're sort of thinking about what are the key business drivers for us. And every company will have some key priorities. Let's say in this example, I have written that you want to expand in new markets. Second priority is you want to improve your customer satisfaction score. Likewise, there's improved product quality and there are a few more. Now, that is a very fundamental thing. If you don't know where your company is going, okay, that's a different problem. Tool can't fix that. But if you know where a company is headed, what the business priorities are, just capture them in the tool. And with that, you have just defined your drivers. And all of this is customizable. Like, let's say I click on this. All of these drivers, you can just enter input and you can define exactly what it means. And let me see right here. Okay. So what we have done is we have given a name to it. We have described and we have marked this as active. The next section is really important, this one that you see down there, because what if I meet that driver? Let's say, you know, we are low on that. It means this, we can grow revenue by, let's say, $500,000. Moderate impact means we can grow between $500,000 to $1 million. And depending on size of your organization, this might mean, you know, from 100 to 500 million or $500 million to something. You can define, you know, you can, but you are just taking a qualitative, you are making a qualitative statement that for this business driver, moderate impact means this. Strong impact means this. So you're trying to create really a driver, and you're also trying to define what the impact means. And at the minimum, it gets all of you aligned around your priorities. At the same time, it also makes you think what this, how this driver impacts our business. And you can repeat the same thing across the different drivers. Having done that, the next thing you'll do is to prioritize. And how do you prioritize? Even though you might have same drivers, let's say there is a grow revenue, let's say there is a driver around reduce IT infrastructure cost, there's a driver around, you know, grow our social channel. These drivers have different weightages for different stakeholders. The sales, if you have a sales head, you know, chief operating officer, he's going to prioritize that high. Likewise, there might be three drivers which might carry more weight for marketing department or for IT department. So you start with the company priorities, and then you start to map them for your respective departments. And sometimes companies, customers, they do for respective subsidiaries, that our charter is different. They do by product-wise, or they do on a functional basis. More often than not, I've seen people doing more on the functional side, because that's where you see more shared goals, that, okay, my CIO priorities are this, and you can just define that. So let me click on this. So for these different prioritizations, you can see, like, right here, we have sort of defined this is what these business drivers. If I were to think about CIO, we are attaching 1/3 of attached to the first priority. And you can, pick a different. Now, how you do that is you do from this exercise called as prioritize drivers. And what it requires is you basically have to get different stakeholders have to get in a room. And then what you do is you go through this exercise. You take first driver. What, let's say there are 5 drivers. We'll take driver 1. We'll compare it with all the remaining 4. Next screen, we'll take driver 2. We'll compare with 3, 4, 5. And likewise, you know, we just narrow it down. So you start with driver 1, and you want to get aligned that is this driver as important as driver 2? Or it is, you know, more important, less, much less, or extremely less. And you'll be surprised how much passion this brings to the table. Somebody's going to say that, okay, no, this driver is extremely important. Second guy says, okay, this thing, it doesn't matter at all. And, you know, they have their own valid thoughts. But this forces that kind of conversation. It not only helps you to get right to get more money off your the money you're spending, it also creates a shared understanding, and it forces you to really get this buy-in from all the stakeholders. I can tell you a real example. Like, I was trying to push a feature to our engineering team. Our dev guy said no. Our program manager said yes. Support said something else. And we all had a good debate. But at the end of the day, we all walked away with a shared understanding that, okay, this is, and we'll settle on something. So you'll repeat this exercise. So in this case, I'm taking first driver. I'll map with this all. The way we do that, and different companies do differently, at least on our team, we gave it like a homework to 5 people who were invited to a meeting. We said, okay, go to this tool, do this exercise at home. So by the time you come, you know, or do it in your office. By the time we get to a meeting room, we all come with our opinions that I have done this mapping because otherwise it's going to take you more time. And when you go to the next driver, as I said before, we are going to narrow it down for you. So, you know, now you'll have one less driver, and it gets better from that point. So once you've done that, you define your drivers, you know your company priorities, you have done this driver prioritization, now you are ready to do some real analysis. And the way you do that is you go to portfolio analysis. Now let me take an example. There's a baseline here. Let's say I work in IT department, and I've got hundreds of requests. There are requests for, you know, these, let's say there are 20, 30 projects. And that's a real scenario. Over a span of year, you're going to get a lot of requests, either for a new project, a change request, or something, you know, which will come from nowhere, you know, like compliance, which we call, like, you know, because of what we saw recently, there's a big push on compliance. You can get any kind of request. Now, how do you really prioritize out of these 50 resources, which one should we do? Before you go straight away into budget, what at least this tool asks you to do that, just do a quick mapping. Take all these projects, map them across the different drivers you have. Repeat the same thing. Let's say if I'm talking about apparel ERP upgrade, does it help me improve customer satisfaction? You know, I can say there's a strong mapping, there's a moderate, low, or none. And it's a simple exercise. So let's say you've got 10 projects in your organization. Sorry, I clicked the wrong one. You've got 10 projects. You just go through this exercise, and then you can just do a qualitative assessment first. And the tool remembers how you guys have prioritized. different driver. That whole thing stays. It's the organization knowledge which is now captured in the tool. The tool also knows that what company priorities are. And a lot of that is already captured. And the third input we are taking here is around how you really do the mapping between these individual projects and your different drivers. Once you've done that, things become a lot more easier for you. And typically you will do it once. You have to start somewhere. First time is going to take you a while. Next time, once you talk your next financial year, it's just a delta update. It gets easier from that point onwards. The first time, but somebody, you need a champion in your organization who can really lead it, and you need a strong business buy-in. Or, you know, some leadership has to buy in. Now, in this case, what I did was I analyzed it based on cost. And you can do this optimization based on cost, resources, there are multiple factors. And what you see here is, let's say our total budget is 15 million. Based on the whole prioritization that we have done, the PPM tool tells you that these are projects you should do, and these three you shouldn't do. Because, you know, to really maximize the strategic value for your company, this is what you should be working on. But you might get, you know, like say your CIO or somebody might say that, you know, this apparel ERP upgrade is critically important. I need to force it in. All you need to do is come here, select force in, and then hit recalculate. So you can say that there were 50 projects. You know, either you get me more money or get me more resources. Let's say typically you don't get more money right away. You know, you have to do more with less. That's the sort of world we all live in. What this does is it brings you here and it says, okay, fine, you know, based on what all we have discussed over last 1 year, we settled on our priorities, goals, objectives, everything. And if you don't give me more money, something got to give. So this project data passing tool was moved out. Apparently that was not that important. And we created room for apparel upgrade. At the same time, you can look here on the left side that you are not maximizing your strategic value. You're only going to deliver 90%. Either you get more resources or you get more money. And I can tell you, if today somebody tells you that, you know, these are, let's say you are managing an IT function or in marketing, you're doing some campaigns or something. This is a new thing you have to do. Tell me which one to take out. It's very hard to kill projects because that person is not going to feel good if you're going to say, okay, I'm going to kill your project. But once you bring a tool like this, we can say, you know what, okay, I looked at this. Okay, it seems like based on what we have discussed our last 1 year, it makes perfect sense. So it helps you to put your dollars into a place which aligns with the priorities of your organization. At the same time, derive maximum value given the resources and dollar amount you have. Likewise, if somebody says, you know, like the total budget is, this is my favorite because you always get budget cuts. Somebody says, you know, like you're losing $3 million budget. So what is it? Tell me the impact. Today it takes you, if not few days, few hours, assuming your things are really very much aligned. You know, you have right ready. Otherwise, it's a big exercise of its own. Where the cuts are to be made, which project you should defund. But if you have used this tool, you've gone through the process, it's like a 5-minute thing. Change the budget, hit recalculate. So as long as you are using portfolio management, it remembers everything that you have done and just helps you move faster. So it's like it helps you with faster decision making. At the same time, it helps you bring, as I said before, more data to the discussion, and you can have more objective assessment. Instead of the louder voice getting their project across and making you work on that, you can really have a more objective discussion around it. So that's what you can do with this, and you know, accordingly it will move out some things for you. At the same time, budget was cut, the tool realized that, you know, I'm moving these four, but I can slide this one in. Hub upgrade, because it was less costly. If the budget cut is like that, that's how you can maximize the total value for your organization. So that's like, I would say, like a sneak peek into how you can really operationalize, you can really use this, you know, like once you go from here, give it a try, and you can really see how you can use it for your organizations. And next thing I'm going to talk about is around reporting and BI. So let me click on this. Now let's say you have decided your projects. Your teams are working on those projects. Now, how do you really get an update around, you know, what is happening across different projects? And today, many customers, they might have 20 projects with 20 project managers, everybody managing their project, let's say, only in project desktop or project client. It's hard for you. You spend a lot of time to really create reports that go across multiple projects. And with Project Online, a project server, you can do that very seamlessly. Because Project Desktop can store the project plans behind the scene into your Project Online. And as long as your project managers are using that approach, at the back, you can get your reports just on the fly. You can get real-time reports without really, you know, creating some custom tool or doing something else. And what we have done here is we have just used Excel as our BI tool, because I think it's no surprise that Excel is the most popular BI tool on the planet. Where, you know, most of folks, they know how to use Excel. And as long as you are using, your data is being stored at the back, your project's desktop is connected to your project online, the reports, once you come here, you know, you can just create your report like pretty much on the fly. And once this thing comes, I can just show you. What we've also done here is we've used Power View. So you can use Power View to really create nice dashboards. And let's say, you know, in this case, you got a report across all your projects. And this is a list of projects. Now imagine if your organization has 50 projects. You want to create a consolidated report. It's a Herculean task to really get the right data from 50 different projects. Whereas with this, it will take you only 5 minutes because it is just created on the fly. At the same time, you can filter projects, you can add more, you can remove, and you can do all that fun stuff. And you know, you can create custom reports for yourself. Let me show you another one. Let's say we talk about the project overview. Here again, if you look at, we have the project names at the top, and there's something interesting on the right side. So what we have done in this release is, we have pretty much exposed all the fields that we have in our reporting database. Because one thing which we learned from many customers was that, even if I were to give you like 50 reports out of box, in 10 minutes you're going to tell me 51st it is missing. Okay, and there is one more, tell me this field, can you put this field? And that's where goes the customization game, you know, keep customizing it. So what we did was, we exposed the whole APIs, and we use OData at the back. Essentially, a business analyst or a Power user can just, as long as you understand the data structure, you can put the URL into Excel. It pulls all the data into Excel. You can just come here, we can create a report for you. If you want to customize, as long as you know how to use Excel, like in this case, you know, somebody says, I need like finish date, I need owner ID. You know, you can pick any field that you want. It's just, you click, you drag and drop, and you can get different views around it. So from here, you can't really edit the data at the back, so your data is safe. But at the same time, in this chart itself, you can create 10 reports with simple clicks. And that's the approach which we have been sort of championing with all of our customer base, that for majority of your reports, you don't really need to create custom reporting anymore. As long as you have Excel or using Excel, okay, come, tell your folks to save their project plans into a SharePoint, sorry, into project online, and your reports will just flow from there. Yes, you might, if you really want to create fancy dashboards, I'll probably, you know, engage a IT guy for 2-3 days, ask him to create, let's say, 10 templates for me, and then I can play with the fields, and I can have customer views around it. But at the same time, as we went with this, with Project Online last February, sometime in, I would say, like August timeframe, we started to get feedback from a lot of customers that, okay, I like this. This is great for my 80, 90% of reports. But my boss at the top, he wants a printout with strong PDF printout, you know, for SSRS. And it's a real case. And I got on call with a few customers that why on earth you want to really take printouts? You know, it's a digital world. It's okay. There's no argument about it. Okay, I want the nice, you know, the SSRS has nice gadgets and all. I want that. So we took that feedback. This goes back to the agility of the cloud. We took that feedback. In about 3-4 months, we worked with SQL team, and that's a demo which Krishna is going to show later on. And we announced SSRS-based reporting even for Project Online. And that is something we are just waiting for the next, like the SSIS feature pack to go out, which is like SQL Server Integration Services. Once it goes out, you can say that we now support SSRS-based reporting for Project Online as well. And we support that in a hybrid mode. Because many customers, they said, especially enterprises, that I can use Project Online for my project management, but I need to match data with my ERP system, and I'm not going to expose the whole thing to the cloud. Rather, I want to take some data from the cloud, put a data warehouse, take my ERP data, and create nice reporting right there. So I can be in the cloud, at the same time, this high-end reporting stays on-premise. And that's something we totally support. So that's something we just demoed last month at Project Conference, and we'll show that to you again in a few minutes. So that's essentially about reporting. So to recap, because now I'll move on to the future because we have only 25 minutes left. To recap, what we talked about? First, work management, project, and portfolio. SharePoint, you can use that with project site. You can do your work management. At the same time, that links with your project professional, the client, if you want to do that. And likewise, we talked about portfolio. You know, you can definitely save your projects. You can see all your projects. You can do portfolio management, which there were different steps, which I, there are three, four main steps. If you do that, you can save so much of money within 1 year itself. And then we talk about reporting. Now, next thing I'm going to talk about is, so where we are headed for the future. And let me bring back my slide deck. And okay, so as you think about journey ahead, first of all, how can you even get project online? As of today, you can think of the way we have Office Pro Plus, Office Professional Client. Likewise, we also offer you Project Pro for Office 365. It's the same project client. Only thing is that in this case, it comes through the cloud. You know, there's a click to run live streaming, and it's a subscription-based model. So we are treating essentially the same. And likewise, you have apps on both. The way you would get today, Exchange, Link, SharePoint, in the same way we offer you Project Online. And next thing is, today Project Online is priced at $33 per user per month because we have only one. Whether you're a team member or you're a project manager executive, we offer you only one thing. Please don't take a picture of this. Take a picture of next slide because you like that more. So what we did that, so we just announced that we are introducing one more SKU called Project Lite. And what we did here was, with Project Lite, as of today, if you were to buy, you have to pay $33 even for a team member. And we are bringing that down to $7 per user per month. Oh, thank you. So now, if you look at most of the teams, project teams, you know, more than 50% of people are team members. If you have a team which has got more project managers than team members, again, you have a different problem, which we can't solve. But in majority of cases, you can say, you know, almost up to 70, 80% of guys are team members. They want to work on tasks. They want to enter their timesheets. They want to update their status and things like that. And we have packaged all of that. We have created a subset of that. We give it out to you at, with a SKU called Project Lite. And this new SKU, we're going to land on the price list on May 1st. Now, this is a list price at a very high. But if you're a large enterprise, you know, there is a discounting that's built in. So this thing will get discounted accordingly, depending on the volume that you have. But for your planning purposes, you can use that. Let's say you've got 100 people. Today, you would be paying 33 times 100 per month. That's a lot. Whereas now going forward for those, let's say, 70 team members, you'll pay $7. For the remaining 20, 30 guys, you're going to pay $33. So this is a huge jump, and it's going to lower your TCO in a big way. And that's what we have announced, and it's going to come like just around the corner on May 1st. Now, this is on how you can get it. On the product side, again, there are a few things that are going to come in the next phase. First, if I do a quick recap, 2003 is where we brought some consistency between Office and integration with SharePoint. 2007, we added timesheeting and resource planning. Come to 2010, we gave you the project portfolio management solution. 2013, last year, we brought this to the cloud. Now, the question is, okay, what are you going to do next? And next, what we are going to do is there are like four main pillars. And the first pillar that we have is around cloud. So as I said in the beginning of my talk, we are going to go with cloud first. And that means you get a faster release cadence. And I talked to you about SSRS-based reporting. We got feedback. In the past, we would have taken 3 years. It took us like a few weeks. And we already rolled it out. Okay. And that's what, like, sometimes customers think that, okay, we are ignoring on-premise. It's not that we are ignoring. It's just faster for us, and you'll get the benefit later on. That's the only message here. Second is apps. We are encouraging our partner ecosystem, and we have like hundreds of partners. I think there are more than 1,000. That as you build something new, try to build like an app. Because what we realize that, let's say there might be an insurance customer in the US, they need some custom solution. Somebody else will be buying the same thing somewhere in Australia, they'll be paying the same amount. So the partners, you know, they have to extract all the money from one customer or two. This gives them a bigger marketplace, and hopefully it will give a lower price point to our customers. And, you know, you can meet your custom needs faster. Second, devices. So the same thing, there's no secret here. As I said before, we will be covering different device platforms. And especially as you think about, you know, the end-user focus scenario, like something around not the project desktop necessarily, but, you know, like team member and all, we want to be thoughtful that those guys are going to access your projects from different platforms. And, you know, at the minimum, we'll provide you browser support. And in some cases, we already have partners. We've created apps for iOS. They've created apps for Android, Windows Store. So that thing is already happening. Third thing is While we do offer features around resource planning and all, we're going to invest in a big way for resource management. And I can talk about even two features that are already part of our list we're working on. First is around resource engagement. Like today when you create a project plan, now we want to, let's say, get two DBAs, one designer, or somebody else. How do you really lock it? You go through emails back and forth. What we're going to do is, in project client itself, we'll let you request a resource. The source manager gets a request. He or she can look at the plan. They can approve or reject. You know, you can have this whole thing automated. Second is capacity management. Like, the beauty of the solution is, once you start to use that, you can get in few clicks, you can see that where is the capacity in my organization. Like, I was talking to some customer, one of the banking customer. They had resources in some part, but nobody knew who is free. And a project manager, you know, sometimes they have to put a buffer around, you know, and you have to really struggle to get a resource. With this, the data will be there. There is a schedule. It sounds like there are these three guys in Europe. They are not fully utilized. Let's use them in another project. And we'll give you things like capacity heat map. You can get resource utilization. All of that will come automatically with, I would say, simple reports. Third is enterprise focus. And I want to call it out because Project Online, Server, and all, they're very much enterprise. We are very much like focused on enterprise. That's a core priority for us. And that's where I talked to you about enterprise reporting, which we'll show you now. Second is, it's a reality we have seen. Many customers which are coming to Project Online, they want to do things in a hybrid manner. Some of stuff is still on-premise, especially on the reporting side, ERP integration. And that's totally fine. That's one thing we are thinking actually about. And even in the reporting scenario, even for the demo, we used a hybrid environment. So we used Project Online, and we used our SQL Server on the local machine. So it's like it could be in your data center. Third is line of business integration. So again, we do offer APIs, and while we won't be creating connectors for different ERPs, that's where we'll have partners who can build those connectors. But that's something which, again, it's important because at the end of the day, the more you start to use, sooner or later, you're going to ask us, now I want to feed this data to my Oracle ERP, to SAP or somewhere, and you need to support some line of business integration. Now with that, we'll just move quickly. We'll do a 5-minute demo, and I'll invite Krishna to come here and just show us the SQL demo.
Thank you, Sajan. Hello, everyone. I'm Krishna Mamripaka. I'm a senior product manager on the Project Online Project Server team. And I'm going to spend the next 5 to 7 minutes showing you a very quick demo around how you can actually bring in the data that is residing in your Project Online tenant into a SQL Server that is either on your data center or on your local machine, and be able to create some very interesting SSRS reports, as Sajan just mentioned when he was speaking. So with that, sorry about that, my machine just went to sleep here. All right, so I have two applications open here. One is the SQL Server Management Studio, and I have the SQL Server Integration Services within Visual Studio also open. So the first thing I will do here is to be creating a database to get all the data from my Project Online tenant. So very quickly, I give it a name. All right, so I just created a database. Then I move into my Visual Studio environment. I want to create a data flow task. I go to the data flow environment here. So I need to describe what my data source and what my data destination is. So as you can see here, for the very first time, we are going to be supporting OData as a native data source within SSIS. And this is the power of one Microsoft strategy where all the teams are really working together. For example, because the Project Server, Project Online team had such a great value proposition around supporting OData as a native data source, the Visual Studio team and the SQL Server team went in and added that as a native data source here. So I bring in OData as the native data source. Then I go and get my OLE database as the destination. I'm going to go ahead and suggest that one is the source and one is the destination. And before I go any further, I want to create connection managers here. First thing is I'm going to create a connection manager for my OData data source. So I go, I select the new connection. I see option for OData. I'm going to add OData data source here. And the location is the same tenant that Sajan has been demoing everything from. Let me just copy that from here. And I'm going to use a username and password. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to put in a flag of true for Microsoft Online Services authentication. Let me go in and make sure that the test connection has succeeded, which it did. So now I need to make a mapping between the data source and the connection manager. So I go and edit that here. I'm going to suggest that it needs to pull the data from the data source connection that we had just created. And as you can see, when I click on columns, it is able to see all the data that is existing in my Project Online tenant. Now, same way, I'm going to create a new OLEDB connection here. I'm going to delete one that is already existing. I'm going to provide my server name. And then once I do that, I'm going to suggest what the database name is. Just making sure everything is correct. I'm going to test it. Test is success. Go ahead. Now, the last step here is I need to make a link between the connection manager and the connection. I'm going to create a new view here. Going to give a name of the table within the database. Let's say SPC conference table. Okay. And then I go come here and look at the mappings. Now the system is smart enough to actually push the data from the relevant tables on the source into the destination. So I feel pretty good about my little job that I have created here. Let me go in and run this. Just wait for the system to respond back. Okay. Still cranking through it. All right. So as you can see here, it says that it actually brought in 50 rows of data from the source into the destination. So if I go back into my SQL Server, you can actually now see in the new database that I created a table, SPC table, and I can query to bring in the data from the top 1,000 rows. And as you can see here, I'm bringing in 50 rows from the source into the destination. Now, once I do this, I have all the liberty and flexibility on my hand to go in and create whatever SSIS, SSRS reports I want, and I can bring in data from other systems, ERP systems or financial systems, payroll systems, and be able to create some very creative and innovative reports for my management. So just like any cooking show, we've already went in and took the pain of creating those reports. So I can create those reports and I can link those reports to my Project Online tenant, which we have done here. So if I click on the SSRS dashboard link, which I customized, you can see a very simple but elegant SSRS dashboard. So there are multiple advantages of having SSRS as a part of your overall reporting strategy because it is much more customizable. It gives you very good drill-down capabilities. And also, last but not the least, it can help you subscribe to these reports. And you can schedule these reports to run at any given point of time, even in the midnight if you don't want to sort of work with your server environment during the daytime due to performance reasons and whatnot. So that, at a very high level, is the power that we are putting in your hands with respect to kind of extending the overall reporting strategy. This is going to be available in the next feature pack of SQL Server 2012, which should be coming out anytime now, as well as SQL Server 2014. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Krishna. Okay, so just to recap, what Krishna showed you, he literally created a hybrid solution for you. So that was all live. He went to Project Online. He pulled the data onto a local SQL Server. The whole thing was done, I would say, you know, let's say give and take 5-6 minutes. So likewise, you can pull data from pretty much any data from Project Online, pull to on-premise systems, and then, yes, you have to create some report, depending on what type of report you have. Then you can show that report back into your Project Online environment. And we showed a similar demo at Project Conference. And we, like, there's a partner called Project Host. They've already done this work for us. In fact, they also created a demo tenant for us back then. Because what we wanted to do was, I had two choices. Either I could use our engineering team, Microsoft Engineering, and which, you know, normally we don't give them out to customers. They work on the product. Or we could use a partner because that's what realistically all customers, either they use a partner or they use their own IT to create this, to sort of work on these type of scenarios. And in this case, for our demo, we use Project Host for the Project Conference, and you know, you can look at their other partners who have started to create these sort of solutions. But that's just one example how we can say that we'll be doing more on hybrid. So reporting is the first, and you can see we can do something even on LOB integration. And last slide I have, then we'll go to our Q&A. I've just listed some resources here, and you know, the slide deck will be up on the portal whenever these guys pull it up there. But you can, if you want to try it out, go to website. You can even start a partner-led trial. So partner can help to do a trial for the whole Project Online. Or you know, if you are working with somebody from Microsoft, they can help you do that to get you started. There are sources on TechNet, MSTN. We have a very active forum that our support team monitors that. And last but not the least, I think tonight we have Ask the Expert session. If I can't answer your questions here, you should definitely come there. We'll have folks from our engineering team, and there'll be somebody even from my team out there to come and help you answer you that. So with that, we are done with the session. Before we take Q&A, just a gentle reminder, please do take the online surveys that we have so we can know what we can improve, whether we can do anything better. So with that, that's towards the end of session. We have 7-8 minutes, and I'm happy to take any questions you might have. You can come to the mic to have any questions.
Earlier when you were showing the task list and you pulled that up into the site, yep. We had done something similar at our company, and one of the requests from our users is that we show milestones like you can do in Microsoft Project, and yep. You had mentioned indenting.
Yes.
Can you show how that's done?
Indenting you can do pretty quickly, actually. Let me see. Just hold on. Okay, let me go real quick here. And I think if you look at here on the task, you can see there's right, you know, you have this option, let's say here, and you know you can indent or outdent. Let me click on this. Let me take this task. You can, if you look at right there, you can just indent it. You know, the whole thing will be indented for you. So you can outdent, indent, you can do all that from here.
I'm not sure I see that on our task list. Is there, maybe I'm not picking the correct tasks web part?
I think, okay, which version of Product Server you're on?
We're on Office 365 2013.
Then it should be there. I think, okay, go to apps, and okay, try it out yourself. Go to the apps, add a task app, try this out. If it doesn't work, come to the Ask Experts tonight, and somebody on the team will have the engineering guy. They'll help you figure it out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, sure.
You might need to go to site settings and add the PWA features.
Yes.
As a feature.
Yeah.
Site settings, and then you manage your site features and activate the PWA stuff.
I think, yes, you have to enable the project site feature.
Yeah.
That's the right one. Yeah, that's one we have already done on this.
So we're actually also a 365 customer. We started with SharePoint as the platform and only lit up Project Online after the fact. And so we're finding that none of the sites that were built as project sites for task management and just basic stuff are available in the PWA page to roll up to program management. Is it, do you have to create these projects underneath the PWA site? Or
no.
Can you roll them back up?
You can roll them up. Like if you go right here, you know, like, let me see. Because what you can do is once you create these sites, you can essentially once you come to PWA, or the Project Web App, and there are different ways you can create a new project. One is, you know, you literally create a new project, or you pull from a SharePoint site. You know, once you've enabled the project site feature on your site, what you can do there is, assuming let me go back here.
If you go to the project. Root level of your SharePoint
yes.
tenant, or even a different site collection.
No, you can.
Entirely.
You basically have to do here. Let me quickly show you. Okay. It's right here. You know, you can just add a SharePoint site. So yeah. This is how you can pull those sites here.
Maybe I'll go to site experts, because that list is empty, even though there's many sites that are already activated. So
there might be a case of, I don't know, like you might have a different site selections. As long as you have the right permissions, and you know you have sort of given the right that this SharePoint task list can be made visible into this, those will appear here. If you have access to the tenant, again, bring it back to our Ask the Expert session.
Okay.
I think somebody can sort of take a look at that. Okay.
Is there any roadmap, or has there been any thought of offering Project Server as a service in Azure instead of Project Online?
Project Azure as a service in Azure. You can think about, today we support Project Server. You can deploy that in Azure.
Right.
So even today you can do that.
Right.
Only exactly. thing is, you need to get the license with Software Assurance. Then you can get something called license mobility. So you're covered from a license standpoint. And then either you can choose to sort of deploy it yourself, or you can have a partner to do it.
Right.
So I think so you can go on either of those.
But
options.
I know with SharePoint you have it to where it's kind of a service that you could spin up a SharePoint server right out of as
today
as
we
as
don't
a
have like we don't have the image library. I think that's what you're getting to.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, I don't think we have that today. But you can still, like, that's one hurdle, but you can still get your normal server and create a VM and provision.
Yeah, that's our plan. I just wondered if you had any.
Yeah, no, we don't have that today.
Intent in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there now, or do you know if it's going to be available in the future to have nonprofit pricing for Project Online?
Sorry, say that again. Oh, charity pricing.
Yeah, nonprofit or charity pricing for Project Online.
Okay, I don't know off the top of my head, but I think I remember we had some chat. We might be doing that. I don't know. I think, let me do this. I'll give you my email is sajanp@microsoft.com. Mm-hmm. Send me an email and I'll respond to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Any more questions?
Is that header front page right there at the top? Is that available in 10?
Sorry, which header? I don't think it's in 2010, if that's what your question is.
Yeah, we're
no.
trying to find it.
I think, no, it's 2013.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's all. Thanks a lot. I'll give you 2 minutes back. Have fun in 2 minutes. Thank you very much.